One heart, one love. It's a feeling in all of us. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful idea. Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living, where such is the nature of life that all it asks and all it wants is the opportunity to appear. You're the opportunity, and so am I, and so it is. It is wonderful to see some new names on the screen. I trust if you're here for the first time, we give you a great big welcome. You find something useful and helpful through this time together. And let us know how we may serve you further in the future. If you want to stay around afterwards, introduce yourself. You're welcome. If not, you're welcome. Either way, we're glad you're here. So what I wanted to further say is that we are a center that honors all. We are one heart and one mind. We recognize there is only one anyway in the universe, one power, one goodness, one life. And that life, that power is flowing in and as and through each of us. We are each one expressions of that divine. Therefore, how can we do anything less than celebrate you, whoever you are, whatever you come from, whatever issues, feelings, thoughts you may be carrying with you this morning. We welcome them and we welcome you. This is a place where all is welcome, all ideas, all thoughts. So that we look forward to having this time together with each of us and with each of you. So I want to do a really short kind of centering moment, if you want to join me. There's one mind, one power, one light. We've affirmed it already. We open ourselves and our minds to the greater idea that God is all there is, that spirit is all there is, and everything that flows in us, to us, and through us is that one power, that one light, that one love. We don't have to go find it. We don't have to make it happen. It's already present in us. So as we go into this day today, as we go into this time together, we do so with ease and grace and wonder, knowing that all is well. This is our truth. We let this be, and so it is. Thank you. Further understanding of who we are, what we're about, and a great reminder of the ideas of oneness, what that really means for us and what that really means in life, is found in our Declaration of Principles, and it will be on the screen in a moment, and we will share and read it together if you. And here we go. I believe in one God, one absolute power and first cause to all my experiences, first call to all things. I believe that this power is perfect love, and it creates out of a desire to express love. I believe that all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience. I believe in the unity of all life and the immortality of the individual soul forever unfolding. I believe in the eternal goodness, the eternal loving kindness, and the eternal givingness of God to all, and so it is. So at this time, each week we have a practitioner. A practitioner is someone who is trained in this teaching, who works with it in a way that allows them to successfully use these ideas to change their lives and to change others. They're licensed because they've been through enough training and have been recognized, have evidence of the changes that have happened for people, the really good that they do. So at this time, we will hear from one of our practitioners, our co-lead practitioners, the wonderful Judy.
All right. Thank you, Bob. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, this whole month, we've been talking about living as a compassionate conduit. And today, the theme is posed as a question: how engaged is God in us? And you know, as I was thinking about that question, I thought, well, it's obvious. God is engaged in our lives as much as we want it to be, or as much as we allow it to be. You know, spirit knows itself through its expression as us. So my experience of spirit or of God is that it is always present. It is always willing. It always wants to express through its creation, which is all of us. The question is, are we open and engaged in allowing it to express through us? You know, we've all had times in our lives when we turn away from spirit and we get stuck in some kind of distress, whether it's a physical illness or a situation, whatever it is. But, you know, my experience has always been that when I wake up and when I realize I need to turn back to spirit, I need to re-engage with this presence, this power that's always wanting to express through me, that spirit is always there 100% of the time, waiting patiently, holding no grudges, loving me no matter what. It never goes away. We are the ones that get off track. So we have that choice to be more engaged or to be less engaged with our spiritual selves. And we are basically spiritual selves, right? That's our nature. You know, it also reminds me that when I think about this theme for the month of living as a compassionate conduit, reminds me that being this presence in the world and allowing God to express through me requires some things of me. It requires me to reach out to other human beings in this time of change. And, you know, here we are in a time of huge social distancing and isolation sometimes. I am reminded that there are ways for me to reach out and connect to other people. And it feels to me like there's a huge need for it right now. You know, it feels like the exterior world is just swirling around in confusion and fear. So what I can say to myself is that I offer a presence of stability and clarity in the world. And I can allow the spiritual presence to express through my words and through my actions. I can stand for love in the world. I can listen to others that may not always agree with me. And I can have patience and love in those situations. In our discussion group this morning that happens before the service, and y'all are always welcome to join, there was one of the people shared in the group that, you know, in the world right now, it looks like there's so much opposition. I mean, they practically have our country divided down the middle with, you know, with how the election came out, and there's so much anger and fear and denial, and I don't even know all this. But the truth is, there is really no us and them. Really, it's really all one. And that Denise, who shared in the group, she said, it's really God having a conversation with God. And it's like, how are we going to participate in this conversation? Are we going to allow the presence of spirit to express through us as love, as peace, as reconciliation? Are we going to be a conduit for compassion in the world? And it seems like that's sorely lacking right now. So we come together today to remind ourselves that we can be as engaged as we want to be with spirit, and that it really is about us allowing this presence, which is always 100% there for us, to express as love and compassion in the world. So I'm going to close this part with a quote that is from Emmett Fox, who I was looking at his book recently. He's written a lot of great things. And anyway, this was from a book called Around the Year with Emmett Fox. And it seemed to fit this moment for me. And it's sort of a meditation kind of prayer. And we'll go from this into a spiritual mind treatment. He says, my soul is filled with divine love. I am surrounded by divine love. I radiate love and peace to the whole world. God is love, and all are expressions of love. The love of God burns in me for all humanity. I am a lamp of God, radiating divine love to all whom I meet and to all whom I think of. All right. Thank you, Emmett Fox, for those beautiful words. So if you'll join me now, just get comfortable in your place of of peace in your place of in your home, and just allow yourself to relax and to know this with me. And just allow yourself to breathe, because there's so much interference and frenetic energy just flowing around out there, and we do not have to participate in that. I just recognize and know that there is one presence, there is one power, there is one goodness, there is one light, there is one love, that this power and this presence and this perfect creative thing that we call God, that we call spirit, is expressing through all of life. It really is all that there is. And I know that I am, and that everyone listening right now, that we are all connected at the heart level to this presence and to this power, to this spiritual perfection that is complete and perfect love, that is wisdom, that is intelligence, that is vibrant health, that is opulent abundance, that this presence only always desires the very best for us. So I know at in our spiritual perfection, that wholeness, that completeness, that we can allow this perfection to express as our lives in the physical world. So I know that that is the truth for me right here and right now, and for each one of us. I turn away from anything that says that a life of love and joy and peace and prosperity and vibrant health is not for me. I just turn away from anything, any struggles that are in the way of allowing that to happen in my world. I know that I'm never separated from this presence, from this power, from this peace, from this love, and from this wisdom. And even as we look out at the world and see so much division and divisiveness, we can say, no, that's not the truth of things. There's really no us and them. It's really all one. It's really God talking to God. And we each bring the presence of love, the presence of wisdom, of divine intelligence, and of goodness to the world, wherever we are, whatever our situation is, whatever we can allow this presence of goodness and love to express in the world through us, that we do it. And we do what needs to be done. We are divinely guided and led, and we are supported in every way. So I just affirm this. I know that this is the truth. I release these words now, knowing that they are powerful, and knowing that they are creative, and knowing that they are so. So I release this now, and we say together, and so it is. All right. Thank you. And I guess now we go to the music. And I'm not even sure what it is, but I'm sure it's going to be very inspiring. Thank you.
Everyone around other make it through. 'Cause everyone around this world, each woman, man, and boy and girl are one. We are one. Everyone around this world, each woman, man, and boy and girl are one. We are one. Every time
we are one. Every man, woman, boy, and girl? Really? Wow. I don't know about you, but in the past, I've had some folks in my life, and occasionally now, that I just as soon think that's not quite true. Maybe we're connected somehow, but we're not one. And I love this. I love this song. I love this idea. This is the idea that has just turned all of the other questions around. Part of what I love about this teaching is from the time I walked in the door, the questions and the ways of looking at things just got turned on its ear and upside down and backwards, which turned out to be upside right side up and forward, although at the time it didn't necessarily seem that way. So I'm wondering what you thought when you heard this title or you saw this title. How engaged is God in us? And I'm with you, Judy, and I appreciate what Judy said. She really laid it out for us. And the beauty of having Judy do that, and I'm gonna also do that, is I want us to have time to fertilize that idea, to take that thought and just sit with it a while. And I want to engage and invite you to let this question be your question over this coming week. How engaged is God in me? Well, of course, the short and easy and correct answer is, well, completely, 100%. That's all there is. There can't be any part of me that's not somehow a part of God. And yet, there are ways in which I can choose. How that engagement is going to show up. Back to the conduits. We are conduits of compassion. And when I think about those things I'm compassionate about and those people and those or passionate, either way, that I'm directing my attention to my ideas and the things that are important to me, then the energy and focus of all of the universe in spirit is behind it. Now, all those things that I'm compassionate about are already a part of God. They're already part of the oneness, But they get to vibrate in a whole different way. They get to come alive in a whole different way. And they get to find a greater clarity of truth and a greater clarity of reality, because there are nonsense. There is nonsense. There are things out there which are a distortion, like the passion of God, the creative power of God is distorted into hate, into destruction, into racism, and all of the isms that would create a category of people or beings that are somehow wrong and somehow should not be included in the oneness. But that's done with that same energy of love distorted and turned on its ear. It's not like a whole separate thing. It's not a new energy of hate and pain. It's the old energy. Just saying, no. Here we go. See, we're not automatons or puppets. We are expressions of the infinite, and it does move through us, but we get to choose how we allow that engagement. We can allow that engagement to be amplified in us by practicing the presence of spirit, of life. That is simply being hyper aware or greater aware, or just paying attention to when it shows up and how it shows up and how life is showing up in us, through us, for us, especially for us. We say it a lot around here, and I've heard it a lot this week. You know, things aren't done to us. It may feel that way a lot of the times, but they're done for us. And when those things that are done for us appear to be evil or wrong or against us or painful or hurtful, it is the opportunity for us to know something better, to move into a higher and greater place of truth and freedom, to speak up perhaps. See, and that's part of it, speaking up. There are many misunderstandings of the idea of oneness and the teaching of oneness, and especially of our choices as an organization not to engage in causes that are could be construed as political, or causes that appear to be taking one side or another of any discussion or issue. And yet we always stand for truth, for the goodness of every human being, for every being and part of life to be an expression of God. So we don't go stick our heads in the sand, even though we talk sometimes about don't get all caught up in spending too much time on the news media, because that's not the truth. It's a distorted version of what's going on, but it's not really showing you what's true. Spend enough time with your own consciousness instead to get to that deeper truth and reality, so that we don't get caught up and wrapped up in those things. So we are not a teaching that's about, going away and hiding in a cave somewhere so that we can somehow feel better or more spiritual. There's a whole thing about of gurus. You know, we've had gurus around for a long time, and there was a book not long ago it was about 20 years ago, from Alan Cohen, that talked about, that was entitled, "If You Meet the Buddha on the Road, Kill Him," which was a really disturbing title for a lot of us who were thinking that any guru, Buddha or otherwise, was a good thing. And it is. There are many good things about it. But the age of the guru, the one individual who carries the truth for everyone else, is over and done. Where we are now is in an age of every person being awake and alive to who and what you are and what truth is, and having every person having access to this divine revelation of truth within us. So we don't need to leave the world. This is a quote from Ernest Holmes. "For we may engage in all of its activities without being controlled by them, including the news." You can watch it and read it. Raymond Charles Barker, one of our earlier teachers, used to read the newspaper every morning. He'd put it down, he'd slam his hand down on it and say, "Not a word of truth in it." But invited the truth to bubble up from inside of him. And he He later also said he saw it as a great prayer request. And when you watched all the stuff going on in the world, it was not about taking sides or joining in to one thing or another. It was about looking at where's the request for greater truth. We can master that. When we master our own consciousness, when we master our own realities in such a way that it's rich and powerful and good. So we don't do the hiding out. We do the speaking up. We actually can stand up for truth in any given situation, however simple or profound it is. I heard yesterday from a wonderful friend of mine. She is one of the three couples that founded the Center for Spiritual Living, Greater Philadelphia, where I served for 10 years. And about sometime in 1992, 91, they started meeting together. In 93, they formed the center. So she's been in this for a long time, and she knows it well, and she speaks it well, and she lives it well, as far as the truth that there is one power, and it's for us and always for us. So she's told me the story of having been getting on an airplane this week to go back to Philadelphia. She now lives in Florida. And she realized after she got on the plane that she left her cell phone behind. And fortunately, she said, she remembered one person's phone number, the wife of the one who was supposed to pick her up when she got to Philadelphia. And they had already arranged for this husband, Tony, to come and pick her up, but she didn't have a phone to tell him when she got there. But she started realizing without her phone, she didn't have a GPS, so she couldn't tell where she was or he was or any of that. But she has and has had for a while her own personal GPS, which is guidance, protection, and support from the infinite. So she arrived, she tried to call from a phone on the plane and couldn't get through, couldn't get to anyone. She arrived at the airport, she tried to call again on an available public phone. She asked someone else to use their phone, went through the whole getting through the airport, et cetera, and got out on out to wait for someone to pick her up. And she said she wasn't particularly frightened or upset, because she knew she had her own GPS, but she was still pursuing all the avenues. And so someone out there allowed her to use their phone, and she tried again. And then she remembered that she had her laptop with her. So she pulled out the laptop, but then she didn't have a signal. So the person used their phone to provide her with an anchor so she could get a signal. And she got on there and she was able to communicate and contact. And about the time she was still not able to really reach anyone, but she at least had sent an email, Tony, who was picking her up, showed up. And she explained to the person next to her what her GPS was. That because the infinite God is such a giving, loving God, that she always trusts that she has guidance. She didn't put it in any particular religious language. She just said she's guided by the infinite, by spirit, by life. And she's protected because the woman had said to her, well, you know, you seem pretty calm to not know how you're going to get anywhere from here. And she knew that she was protected and supported by having all the pieces come together to get her where she wants to be. And I love that story because it's a great example, not only of personal practice of what we teach, but also of how we speak up about it. You know, we don't need to go around trying to proselytize and get people to come join us or evangelize even. But anytime there's an opportunity to speak up for how you are functioning, how you are being, then you become the law of attraction at work, because 99% of the time people are drawn to that. They're drawn to you being calm, being peaceful, being loving, and recognizing that as you move through. Now, we have an interesting thing today because we have a Bible story. So there's a great story of the prophet Ezekiel. And I will attempt not to get too Baptist as I talk about this, although the Baptists are beautiful, wonderful people, and part of us as well. But that's my background, so, you know, I won't yell and scream and throw the Bible or anything. However, I will say that the story is pretty awesome. Ezekiel was a prophet in exile, and he was having visions and seeing the wheel within the wheel and all those exciting things. And then suddenly someone tapped him on the shoulder and pulled him into the moment of going, I want to talk to you. Well, that was the infinite speaking, God speaking. And he said, I want you to pay attention because there's some rough people out there who have totally turned away from truth. And I'm going to send you to them to talk to them. And I can imagine how Ezekiel must have felt. Here he is already in exile. So now he's being sent to some other country in exile where Jewish people had been exiled and who were straying from the idea of one God and into idolatry and into other kinds of misuse of power. And he said, you're going to go speak up. And they're not going to like it. They're going to disagree with you. Some of them might recognize the truth. But here's the part that comes up later in that whole thing. That's not in the story part that they gave us. And that is, he says, if people die of guilt and shame without knowing the truth, and you had the opportunity to speak it to them, then you share the responsibility. I went, what? That's, oh, but we're one. Of course it is. Ho'oponopono that Cynthia so beautifully talked about a few weeks ago. So if you're in a position, now again, I'm not talking about standing on the street corner with a Bible and or even with a Science of Mind textbook or anything else and trying to convict people of their wrong, even though I think Ezekiel may have done some of that. I'm talking about speaking the easy, normal, everyday truth when it shows up. And then finding how people will respond to you. Judy said it so well when she said that, said what she did about compassion, being able to speak to people who disagree with us, who just are on a whole different page than we are. How do we do that? How do we cultivate caring about them enough? What comes to mind is the really wonderful Lorna Bradley, who is a dear friend who lives in Cancun now. She's a minister. She was at this previous center. And she has a whole ministry, actually, of talking to folks online on Facebook who are just in the opposite way of thinking and being than she is. People who are self-professed racist. Lorna is an African-American woman. She's amazing. But she has an ability to, with great compassion, speak with these people and not run away and not shut them down and not make them evil or bad. She doesn't hesitate to point out behaviors, perhaps. But she says what makes that work for her is she knows everyone on the planet is wanting the same thing. We're wanting to be loved. We're wanting to feel safe. We're wanting the best for our families. And there are many distorted views and versions of that. But in truth, we're all really wanting the same thing. And that's what she speaks to. And I was, when I was visiting with her in Mexico, it was amazing to listen to and to watch over her shoulder at some of that back and forth on Facebook, because I thought this woman's got some power and strength that I need to learn from. Now, I'm not suggesting you should do that if that's not your thing, but I am suggesting finding what you're called to. Where is your place to speak out on the truth of who you are? To speak out on the truth of life as you understand it. Now more than ever, our world needs it, not just this country, but everywhere. So many people living in fear and anger and hurt. And one of, you know, when people get are hurting enough, one of the natural responses is to throw up walls and fight back. And it's our job not to join that. It's our job as those who are of the God of love to continue to hold that space of love, of speaking our truth. And I want to share with you someone else. I don't know if you are aware of this gentleman, Reverend Dr. William Barber. He's the leader of the NAACP for the state of North Carolina. He's part of their national group. And he says this, not saying something is not an option. Back to the story of Ezekiel, where if you don't speak up and the person gets hurt, even if that you have some responsibility in that. Now, the person doesn't have to agree with you. If they go ahead and do their same behavior and they crash and burn, but then that is truly their idea. But if you didn't know what you were choosing, you're stepping into a place where there could be a real possibility of change. So he says, you can't see injustice and say nothing. You can't see an abuse of human beings because of their race, their creed, or their sexuality and not say something. The prophetic call demands that we say something. And he is in this talking about Ezekiel. How will the haters learn that they're wrong unless they learn of God's love? And they not only learn it by our speaking, but by our doing and our living. So I'm bringing this to you, and I realize it's a different kind of talk than we do very often. And I don't, you know, one of my concerns about it is I don't want you to turn it into it's about politics, because it's not. Or don't think that I'm talking in terms of guilt or shame if you don't speak up in every situation you walk into. I do not think we need to walk around with waving signs or holding placards or marching. But if your call is to march, march. If your call is to speak up, speak up. If your call is to quietly do prayer and treatment for someone or something or some cause, quietly do prayer and treatment. I love John DePalma's statement, Reverend John DePalma, where he says, you know, there's no way that your protesting has more power than my prayer. And that's the place we need to go from. And so if your participation in a demonstration or whatever is coming out of that place of understanding the positive power of your prayer, then go for it. But if it's not, if there's a lot of fear around it, then don't. Your path is somewhere else. And there will be plenty of people stepping up to do those things that are not yours. Because see, all of this is just God, spirit, life, living out its perfect expression. As Judy said so beautifully, the two sides of every discussion is still spirit talking to spirit. However, oppositional it may seem to be, it's still life working out how does it express itself in greater and greater ways, such as the nature of life, that all it asks and all it wants is the opportunity to appear, and you are that opportunity, and so am I, and so it is. And that's where the real rubber hits the road. That's where the power is. That's where the goodness is. One more slide and we'll stop. This is our affirmation for today. Well, not that one, this one. I am and will be a stand for love in the world. No matter who is listening, I am listening and I am engaged. That is how God is engaged in us, is by our participation and choosing to be engaged in love and engaged in the world. We have everything we need. We have our own personal GPS with which to do that. And in so doing, we will find greater freedom, greater life, and greater life experience for ourselves, as well as those with whom we engage. And we really deserve that. You really deserve that, because you're wonderful. And so am I. And so it is. So join me, if you will, for a moment or two of meditation. And just take a moment. Close your eyes. Take a deep breath. You've heard a lot of words. You've heard some stories. You've heard some other ideas, some of which may have offended you, some of which may not. And as you breathe in, simply let all that go for right now. Because regardless of what I say or anyone else says, there is only one real source of truth for you. And that is your own inner voice, your own consciousness. So as we take a breath and we relax, we breathe in, we acknowledge that the power of the One is infinite, it is universal, and it is alive and well in me and in each of us. And if you so choose, choose to be engaged with it. And let it be engaged in you. Through your care, through your love, through your goodness. Let it be engaged as you in your day-to-day activities, as you go about them with the awareness that it isn't just about the moment and what you're doing, although the moment is powerful. It is about spirit having its way in the world, life having its way in the world. As me, as you. And as you think of your GPS, your guidance, your protection, your support. Think of all the times those things have occurred in your life. They may not have seemed so supernatural. They may have been very natural, where you were guided, a roadmap perhaps, supported, protected. And let your mind fall into pure and overjoyed gratitude that we live in a world that's like this. We live in a universe that is responding to us in this way. And in this gratitude and from this gratitude, I can release this now, knowing it is complete and it is done. I let it be, and so it is. Wow. Thank you all for giving me this opportunity to speak my truth and for you to find whatever parts of it may resonate, whatever parts doesn't, but that it may enrich your life in one way or another. So at this time, we always hear from a board member who shares with us some things about our organization and what's coming up and activities today. That is the wonderful Karen Childs.
Hello, everybody. I'll just admit it. I had my weeks mixed up. I thought my email had said that it was next week.
I didn't mix it up. So,
pardon?
I hope I didn't mix it up. Thank you.
It doesn't matter. We're here now, and I've done this before, so we'll just keep on keeping on here. But if I seem a little flat-footed, I'm just telling you that's why I'm in this spot. But prosperity and abundance and all those things are common things, common themes throughout everything that we do and think about every day. And when it comes to supporting your CSL Midtown, it is as important as anything that you could do, even though it may not seem to be on your top 10 list, because it is this spiritual underpinning, if you let it be, of everything that guides your every day. So it is a wonderful thing that you think fondly and ask God to take care of all of us. It is a parallel effort that you help us financially as well. So we would ask you to go online and look at the various ways that you can contribute. Believe me, the people who are in charge of that have made it as easy as possible for even old school folks like me to even put a check in the mail if that's what suits you to do. So I encourage you to do that, keeping in mind that when you give, you receive abundantly. And the measure of how enthusiastically you give, how thoughtfully, how emotionally you know your contribution will matter, will be returned to you. And I feel it every time I write a check that this is a happy thing for me. And isn't it nice that the additional beneficiaries are all those at CSL Midtown that provide us this platform every week and many, many opportunities during the week and so forth to participate. So help me out, Vance. Yes, read with me, please. And I always say that when you read it out loud, that it's kind of a little bit more meaningful. You pause and hear over the words. So say this with me. I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow, and all that I share with life returns to me, multiplied abundantly. And so it is. And there, right there, amazingly, is the link to guide you through donating at cslmidtown.org. And here are some announcements, and I will not read them to you, as I feel certain you have that handled. But I guess the overall message here with regard to all these things that are going on is that there are things for you to do to participate when that little voice in your head says, I'm a little bit out of whack here. I am not centered. My life is kind of rotating a bit out of control. I need some grounding. I need like-minded people to bounce things off of, or I just need a quiet few moments to kind of collect myself, something I would do for me. So there are all the things that are going on. Please do take a look at them and see what resonates with you. I can remember years ago that we had many, many classes that we could attend. And our reverends in charge at the time always said, class is where it's at. And I thought that was a cute little catchy phrase until I saw it in action for myself. And in fact, that is the opportunity to immerse yourself in things that are not well-grounded in your daily habits. These are things you're learning and doing and seeing if they resonate over and over again. But when you have additional information via class, it matters. And that is the leg up that you will have to take care of you to find your good. The Sunday morning discussion group there near the bottom of the list, in past years, I've participated in that. And I will say that it is another level of thinking. It is another level of opportunity for you to peel back additional layers with the help of a facilitator that you might not quite know how to do on your own. So I encourage you to look into that. It's before the service on Sunday mornings, and you can just stop in and see what you think. And if you happen to have the book, which is the Science of Mind textbook, all the better. So now I turn this back over to the powers that be. And I wish you all a wonderful Sunday.
Thank you, Karen. Thank you very much. As one of the powers that be, not in your lives, but in my life, I would just simply encourage you to really consider that class that's being offered right now. You're right. That's where you take this teaching into your everyday working and living at a deeper level. At least you have the potential for that. So this is the last week. We postponed the start of it from last week because there were not enough people. And we're looking forward to hearing from more of you about this. So thank you. So let's close this wonderful day together, this wonderful hour together, with our final affirmation and our final, our affirmation of life. And we use this at the end. Again, read it out loud if you'd like, and I will read it as well. I leave this place now knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing that I have within me everything I need to create the life I desire. I give thanks for this understanding. I am grateful for the spirit of life that lives through me. And so it is. Thank you all very much for being here.